Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast, where we hope to embolden you with discipline, personal growth, and abundance to live your most authentic life. Back to the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And we have a guest in studio today. Tanya and I are very fired up about this one because we both love to travel. We have Crystal Hicks with us. She is the owner of Top Tier Travel Group. So welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming.
I appreciate you guys having me. I'm super excited to talk travel.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Who doesn't want to talk about
travel?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So tell us first who you are and a little bit about your family, your background, those sorts of things.
So my name is Crystal Hicks. I live outside of Springfield, a tiny little town called Clever, Missouri. Married, I have three kiddos. I have some grandchildren. Yeah. I also have two dogs, a cat. I'm down to 20 chickens, so I love animals.
You must live on land.
I do.
Yes. Clever.
And I'm wondering, how do you travel with all those animals? Do you have somebody who takes care of that?
I have a great husband who takes care of all of that, so I can do my job.
Awesome.
So,
that's awesome. Great.
But yeah, I've been in the business. This is going on my eighth year. Okay.
And how did you get started in travel?
Great question. I always used a travel agent for my travels. Mm-hmm. And I was the client that was like, here, I put all this together. Just book this for me, because I wanted that advocacy. I wanted that, you know, that security of knowing I wasn't missing something or things on that nature. So after a couple of trips, she's like, you just need to do this. I'm not doing anything for you except for just booking it. And I was like, well, I don't know. And so I dabbled in it for a first year and a half. I was still working full time, and then kind of went all in about 7.5 years ago. And here I am.
And so immediately, did you open your own agency? I don't know anything about travel agencies and how that works.
So we become independent consultants.
Okay.
So
okay.
Very much kind of like real estate, where, you know, we work under an umbrella.
Yeah.
And then just here recently in 2022, I rebranded and now have a group of agents under. So we have 11 agents in Top Tier Travel groups. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
All over the U.S.
That's what I was going to say. Are they all local or they're all over?
I have
all over.
Six local agents. I have two agents in Washington, and then we have Arizona, Nebraska, and Louisiana.
Okay.
Or Alabama. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So. And I mean, you can do this job from anywhere, right?
You can.
You could live in another country and...
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons why I decided to do this was because I just wanted to be home with my kids. Mm-hmm. And it allowed me to, you know, kind of make my own schedule and still be able to travel and do what I love. So
So do you specialize, because I'm hearing people, I have a friend that specializes in Disney cruises, and I don't know if they have to be part of that conglomerate, that Disney conglomerate, to do that. But do you have any like specialty that you kind of focus on, I guess?
Yeah. So I actually specialize in three different things. Europe, and that can be anywhere, all of the UK, Europe, Africa, and then South Pacific. I also do destination weddings, so I keep up with all of the Caribbean. So the Southern Caribbean, you know, Latin America, things like that. That's where a lot of destination weddings happen. So I keep up with all of it.
Gotcha. And why does someone specialize in a certain area? Is that just because you have better knowledge or?
Great question. So honestly, it's kind of a passion for me. I just love those areas.
Uh-huh.
And so I just, I do more training and travel there more often just so I can, you know, get to know the destination and things like that. But I feel like it's more of like a passion thing. Like Disney is kind of its own animal. It's a lot of work.
Okay.
And I just, I'm not a theme park person, so. I love Europe, and Africa has a special place in my heart, and so does Fiji. So I kind of specialize in those areas.
Okay. So if you, as you mentioned, Caribbean destination weddings. Mm-hmm. So if
somebody called you and said, hey, I want to have a wedding in Jamaica, and you personally have never been to that resort, would you put that on your list of, okay, I've got to go there and experience that resort so I have firsthand information? How do you do your research?
So that's a great question. And I collectively, I think all of the resorts throughout the Caribbean, I have visited probably over 700 of them.
Oh, wow.
So I'm very well traveled.
Didn't even know there were 700.
there are hundreds of thousands. But for Jamaica, honestly, I go to the resorts. If I don't know anything about them, I will do some in destination training with them. I will also contact the weddings department. And then I also get with the tourism board, and we do a training with our team. So it's very intense. Yeah, I will go and visit the properties. I do plan to visit at least 3 to 5 a year that I haven't gone to yet.
Okay.
And I do have these select resorts that I always kind of keep up with because they're the hot places to go and stay. So, but I do try to increase my portfolio to 3 to 5 new resorts a year, because there's always ones opening up too. So
for sure.
Yeah.
And changes, overhauls of old ones.
Right. Revamps.
You know.
All of those things.
So where do you keep the details of your travels? So you've got to have a big diary of sorts, right?
Google Drive. I mean, let's see. So social-wise, I try to post on Facebook and Instagram as much as possible.
Sure.
But it's really all just in my head, and then I keep it all organized, like in our Google Drive, in our workspace.
And because you're sharing that with your other team members, right? So if they haven't been to a resort, they can hop on Google Drive or whatever, and they can see that.
Okay. Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Gotcha. And when you say I don't remember exactly how you said it. In training, the in destination training or whatever. Sometimes you don't necessarily go to these places directly, but they have on-site training or
yes. So
sorry, I don't know how you put it.
That's okay. Yeah. So there's always continuing education.
Okay.
And so there's education with a brand of resort, like Secrets, Dreams, Hyatts, things like that.
Sure. Okay.
And then we also we partner with the tourism boards as well, because they also assist us and clients with, you know, just things that we may not know the answers to.
Yeah. Okay.
Another great thing is, you know, as travel advisors, we have a pool of each other, right? So if I haven't been somewhere, I can reach out to a colleague and say, have you been here before?
Right.
You know, when's the last time you've been? You know, kind of give me some ideas. I've got a client looking for XYZ. They want a beautiful beach, but they don't want the sargassum, you know, during the summer and things like that. You know, what's the food taste like? Kind of those types of things. So we have this huge pool of companionship, I guess, is the right word
good.
To
that's really
right
good.
Word to say that if I haven't personally been and I can't get there before they're trying to go somewhere, that we all share information.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
cool. Community over competition. So
that's great.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
So if someone's never used a travel agent before, and I think that 20 years ago people used a travel agent all the time because they didn't have access to Kayak and whatever, all these Travelocity and whatever. So if they've never used a travel agent, what would you tell people about why they should use a travel agent, and how do they choose one?
There are a lot of questions, honestly, and if it's basically some very similar to like a real estate agent or a dental, like you want to read the reviews. You want to ask them, you know, how long have you been in business? Have you traveled to this destination before?
Right.
Do you have a website? That's, you know, I mean, how do you contact, what's the best means of contact? Things like that. Reviews are really important when you have people that are traveling and that have traveled with you before. Especially how long have you been in business? There are many agents that are brand new that, you know, are still learning, and that's great too. Everyone has to start somewhere.
Sure,
so,
right.
But yeah, those are the questions that I would definitely ask. You know, what do you offer? I think one of the misconceptions is that we cost too much money.
Yeah.
And that's not that's not necessarily true.
Okay.
So everyone kind of runs their business differently. We're all independent contractors.
Right.
Your bigger agencies, they have hourly employees, but the ones who are independent contractors, you know, we don't have set business hours. We don't have things like that. So, right. One of the biggest misconceptions is we cost too much money. So like I was mentioning, everyone kind of runs their business differently. Some charge planning fees and some don't.
Okay.
You know, some people who book Disney, they also charge a planning fee. There are so many components involved in planning a trip. You know, if a client comes to you and says, I want to go to Mexico, or I don't know where I want to go, but I want XYZ, I want a beach, mm-hmm. I want, you know, a pool, a swim-up bar, I want things to do in property, or if they're mm-hmm. looking for a trip to Europe or something, they think they know what they want, uh-huh, and they do. Right. But when you start talking with them,
right.
sometimes it's like, that's not the destination that you're wanting to go to because you mm-hmm. don't know what you don't know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And
right.
so, I mean, we're professionals. We've kind of, you know, we've been there, we've done that. That's our job, is to kind of figure that out. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always used a travel agent to travel overseas because mm-hmm. People don't think about, honestly think people don't think that through. They don't think about their electricity, not their electrical grid, not being the same as yes. ours and having to have different plugs adapters. They don't think about the food. I've been told several times I'm gluten-free. I have a gluten intolerance, but I've been told when I go to Italy, I will probably be able to eat pasta there because it's not the same as our pasta. It's, mm-hmm. it's truly pasta.
Yeah.
It's not, so people don't think about, they go somewhere and they're disappointed because the food is not, you know, our whatever, mm-hmm. tacos are not the same as tacos right. in Spain, right? Yeah. Or whatever. Right. You know what I'm saying. So I think it's so important to have somebody who has been there and just can talk you through some of those yeah. things that you would never even think about asking.
Right. Especially with food allergies. Like everyone, most destinations are really accommodating to that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, agents who have dealt with clients that have mobility issues or, you know, food allergies or things like that, we have compiled a list of, you know, if you're going to Rome, this is where you can eat gluten-free.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
most all-inclusive resorts also allow you, they have a gluten-free menu or a mm-hmm. dairy-free menu. Everything's kind of listed on uh-huh. the menu now. So it's easier than it used to be, I think.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, we can provide all of that information if you have some type of allergy or something like that on mm-hmm. what we call our final travel documents.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So. I think that people sometimes when you're talking about travel agents, they're thinking about booking a hotel, which is a major part, or getting the flights. That's a major part. But there is so much more to it
yes.
in terms of, and I think a lot of people, again, don't know the questions to ask. Mm-hmm. So having that expert to say, did you know that the best time to go to Greece is the end of...
I love September.
September, yeah. Just because, you know, their hot is not our hot. It's a right. it's a different kind of heat. And,
yeah.
and so just those ins and outs, I
yeah.
think, are so important.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about somebody calling you and telling you what they wanted. And you said, you know, that's... You really need to go here.
Yeah.
Let's take Key West, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You have in your head that it's these white sandy beaches. There's no beach in Key West.
There is
you
not.
Know?
So, it is not known for
so
its beaches.
You just, yeah. So, but I wouldn't have known that had I not had a travel agent that could say, now, as far as a beach, if you want to walk out and be on a beach, that's not going to be possible.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. you know, just know that.
You have to drive to get to one.
Yes, yeah.
So. Or in Cabo, if you want a swimmable beach, there's maybe 7 or 8 resorts that have swimmable beaches yeah. in Cabo. So most of your resorts in Cabo won't allow you to get into the ocean.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's an interesting tip, too. Yeah. I've experienced that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about international travel.
Okay.
So if I were going to maybe want to go to Greece next year,
mm-hmm.
and I've never planned an overseas trip myself. So I went to Paris in January. My brother planned the whole thing. He should get his travel agent licensing because he would be really good at it. So all I did was buy my ticket and say, where are we going?
Yeah.
But so me... planning an overseas vacation is going to be totally different, and I don't know
yeah.
the first step. So tell me how you would lead me if I called you this afternoon and said, Okay, go.
Okay. So the first thing I would actually have you do is we have a trip inquiry form. That trip inquiry form kind of gives you some ideas of things you may not be thinking about.
Okay.
So whenever we get that back, it takes less than 2 minutes to fill out.
Okay.
It's kind of that first initial step. And then after that, we schedule a consultation call. The consultation call is super important because it's 30 to 45 minutes long. It doesn't have to be that long, but if you're booking a very large trip to Europe, you're going to have, it's going to be 30 minutes or longer. But, so we schedule a consultation call. That's super important because, we really get to talk about you as a couple, you as a family, who's traveling, you know, what does your husband like to do? What do your kids like to do what do you do? Where do you go on date nights? Like things like that. So we can really customize the trip to you as a couple or a family or whoever's traveling. And then from there, we start our research process and then give you a proposal.
Okay.
At the proposal stage, then we send it to you. You look over it. We can either schedule another call. We can talk through email, make any changes or adjustments that you may need.
Okay.
And then go from there. It would pay a deposit, make payments up until final payment. And we handle all the back end stuff. And that back end stuff is all those little components, like making sure you have transfers from the airport to the hotel.
Right.
You know, if you're wanting to do, I can't even think of the word. I just skipped my mind. Acropolis. The best times to go with that. Do you want a guided tour? Do you want a private tour? What experience do you truly want out of your trip?
Right.
There's so many different levels. You can do it a budget-friendly way, you can do a moderate way, and you can do a complete luxury way. So we discuss that also in the consultation call.
Okay.
So, and then we customize it to you.
Okay. And so that's that's one of the bigger questions probably is money. Mm-hmm. And at this stage right now, I have a amount of money that I'll probably spend on myself alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea if that's close to
actuality,
right?
Right.
You think the same?
Yeah.
Like what I'm willing to spend.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Because I want, I want to eat good food and I want to stay at nice places and I want, so I'm sure the budgeting for some people, they don't even know.
They don't.
What it could cost.
We give options. So on that inquiry form, there's options there because, you're looking at it thinking, well, I don't know what this costs.
Right.
And again, once we have our consultation call, we can really kind of determine if the budget's going to fit or not.
Right.
And then we can, plan accordingly after that. If that's truly all the money that you can spend, then we'll try to make it to where we can. You may need to take a taxi instead of getting a transfer kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We make those adjustments to where we can fit it in the budget.
And that's good to know, too, because everybody's what they're willing to spend money on, that should have a word in itself that's not budget. But, if I'm okay with taking the transfer and Angie says, no, that's where I want to cut costs, then we would have a slightly different budget in mind for, what we're willing to spend on that piece.
Yeah.
And that's good to know that you guys ask those questions and it's that detailed so you know, okay, well, you can save $50 a transfer here if you take a taxi.
Yeah.
You're on your own when you get there. You know, that's kind of an element of that, probably.
Yeah. Me personally, I love a good room. Like, I want to enjoy a room. Yeah. I also want to enjoy the destination, but, I want room service. I want robe and slippers. Like, that's part of my experience when I travel. Yeah. And, if I'm traveling without the kids or I travel alone a lot because my husband has to stay back and watch the animals.
20 chickens.
The animals and the kids. But so I'm usually by myself. But, I want to enjoy my room. If there's peace and quiet, if I want to watch Netflix that evening, I can.
Yeah.
So I personally like to spend my money on room accommodations and experiences. So I'll take a taxi if I need to. But I do tend to, whenever I'm exploring a new destination or shopping a new vendor or partner to partner with, to book trips with, I'll do their top of the line thing. And then on the way home, I'll do the bottom of the line. So I have the best, view of both.
Right. Yeah.
Just like last year when I flew to Egypt, I flew first class there and I flew economy coming back. Cause I really wanted, obviously first class is first class,
but
like how terrible was it in economy? Cause not everybody has, even a premium economy budget, you know, with the extra leg room and things like that. Yeah. So I do really get a broader perspective on things so I can, you know, really assess and suggest the best option for you as the traveler.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we were talking about you coming in, I was telling you about perhaps traveling next year. Mm-hmm. And right off the bat, she said, have you thought about a cruise?
Yeah.
You know, would you take part of your trip and do a cruise and then travel the rest of the way? And then I think what I've always heard is that you want to travel by train everywhere in Europe. But then you said something about you can take a flight from, I don't know if it was Rome to Milan or whatever. And I went on and I looked and I was like, oh my gosh, you can fly for like $120 from one end of Italy to the northern end. So why wouldn't I do that and get there a whole lot quicker than there are times when the train is going to be absolutely picturesque. When I go into Switzerland, I think I want to be taking a train, that kind of thing. But those are great suggestions because even though I'm not a cruise person, if there's something I can see and get the biggest bang for my buck, I guess, in an area where I don't feel like I've got to, you know, explore the countryside, then I love that option. Yeah. And I'm sure it's going to be much different. The only cruises I've been on are Caribbean cruises, so I'm sure it's different to take a Mediterranean cruise.
It's very different.
And you also said that you asked me questions about there is a hierarchy of cruises too. So you can get sort of a luxury cruise if you don't want to travel with a bunch of kids or you want the ability to not have to be herded like cattle onto, you know, you can get easy access on and off. And I may not be using all the right terminology, but
you're explaining it perfectly. you know, there is a hierarchy and, you know, you have your mega ships, what are to Royal Caribbean, Norwegian, let's see, what are the other ones? Sorry, I can't think. Princess, Carnival, things like that. And then you have like your Seabourns and your Silver Seas, and those are a little bit more on the luxury level, but they're mainly all inclusive. So you're not paying for anything extra.
Right.
Plus, another great thing about even like an Azamara ship, for example, they really do cultural intensive itineraries. So if you're really wanting to get immersed in something, there's some great immersive itineraries, and that basically would mean longer time at ports, overnights in ports. So if you didn't want to eat dinner on the ship, you could go and have dinner, you know, on the Amalfi Coast that evening. But they also get to go to these because their ships are smaller. They get to go to smaller little towns that not the big mass market cruise ships can go in. So you're really getting to see, you know, the stuff not everybody gets to see and stop in, and you don't have a transfer that's 45 minutes to get to here and all of that. So it's, I mean, there's benefits to both, but
I think you answered the question I was going to ask, which was, okay, what is the benefit to a cruise in Greece? Because I've been on the Caribbean cruises and I'll never go back. And I love being able to see three or four places in one vacation. Right. Love that aspect. Don't like being herded like cattle. Don't like being stuck on a boat for 2 or 3 days on the ocean. I want to spend my vacation looking at things, eating different places, you know. So, so you'd really have to sell me on that, on that cruise in the Mediterranean.
I probably could.
And I bet you could because me picturing the story you were just telling of a smaller boat, you can go into smaller ports. And you're not, it's not cattle being herded on and off the ship. So, yes, I can see that.
And let's not forget about river cruising. So river cruising through Europe is fantastic. I last October, no, I'm sorry, it was November, I finally sailed all of the Danube River. I've officially have done all of West and Eastern Europe on the Danube River. Rhine, I've done several times as well, but river cruises bring you through, you know, the countries.
Right.
And so that's really nice. The ocean ones bring you around it and then you go in. So river cruising is also another fantastic option. But they are river cruises. So your boats are shorter and they're longer. Because they have to get through the locks to get through, you know, different sections of the river. But
it's probably an interesting way to see Europe.
I would think so.
It's amazing. It's probably one of my favorite trips.
Really?
I have personally been on 8 river cruises because I love them so much.
Are you somebody who ever gets seasick or And the smaller boat does not bother you?
It does not.
Okay. No. Interesting. And you're not out in the ocean where you've got the waves and yeah. less movement probably.
So in when you're doing a Mediterranean cruise, it's the sea. It's not really the ocean. Right. So it's a little bit different. Even if you are on a mass market, I took a group last October on a 10-day cruise or 10-day Mediterranean cruise, and I get seasick. I didn't get seasick at all. It was our first time we brought our little one internationally, and he loved it. He didn't get sick. But yeah, it's just a little bit different water.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I can see that.
Yeah. You mentioned that you have traveled by yourself. We have a question on here about how safe is international travel.
Yeah,
and.
Well, to be blunt, it's about as safe as going to Chicago.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, honestly,
yes,
you are in a different country. But honestly, if, you know, no one's going to Russia right now and, you know, people aren't going to places that, and no one's going to send you to a place that you're going to be unsafe.
Yeah. Right?
So in, as long as you are, you know, doing what you're supposed to be doing, you'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
I think right now, the Middle East kind of has a little bit of turmoil going on.
Mm-hmm.
I actually leave for Egypt in September.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I might extend my stay and go over to Jordan just because I want to see what it's like right now.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't decided and finalized that yet. I'm my own worst travel agent. but yeah, I mean, it's honestly just as safe as traveling to Chicago or New York.
Yeah.
You know, we all have those areas that we try to avoid.
Yeah.
And do you issue any safety advice for certain cities or countries or?
So whenever you are you're fully booked and we convert your travel itinerary, which is on an app that we use, so it's digital, it's on your phone, we convert it over to travel documents. And those travel documents include packing tips, you know, gratuities, safety, tourism information, the adapters like you were talking about, time zones, don't forget to call your bank, kind of things.
Yeah.
So
all great
we include
tips.
All of that stuff.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to something that Tanya mentioned a little bit ago, just because it got me thinking. So she used the word certified. Mm-hmm. Are you do travel agents get licensed or certified? Because you mentioned CE, so obviously you have to.
So honestly, you don't have to be certified to be a travel agent.
Okay.
We all do our own certifications with different tourism boards or things like that. Different vendors and suppliers and areas. So, I mean, you could do South Africa has their own certification. The Caribbean has their own all the different countries have their own. So you don't technically have to be certified to be an agent.
Okay.
It's really a lot of the training that is involved. People think our job is easy, and it is not. we work a lot of hours, and
I'm sure you do.
We don't get paid a lot of money. We get to travel like rock stars,
but
we don't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of more, it's a passion thing, honestly.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I answered your question.
No, I just wondered, you know, because she used the word certified, and I thought, we don't
know. Not knowing.
Knowing what you have to do. But when you're investigating a travel agent, it would probably be good to ask what kind of training they've had.
Absolutely.
Or what
My consortia is Travel Leaders Network. So I have, Google Crystal Hicks travel agent and all these things pop up.
Okay.
I have, it's actually strange because I have people that have reached out to me that are in completely different states that said, I just did a Google search and I found you on, you know, your travel leader's profile. So, that is a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Credibility, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So.
Means your SEO is good too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, if somebody wants to start planning a trip, is there a time frame that you say you should start planning X number of months out?
For Europe and probably anywhere other outside of the Caribbean, I would say eight to 9 months is a good starting point.
Okay.
For Caribbean, I mean, I had an inquiry this morning that wants to leave in 3 weeks. So, oh, wow. I mean, you can just depends. Yeah, you can completely do that in Europe as well. There's just their availability is a little bit different. Yeah. And, I mean, so is Caribbean stuff as well, too.
Right.
But when you're talking South Pacific, a lot of times people need to make payments on that type of
Sure. Yes.
So anywhere from, I would say, 8 to 9 months. I mean, you can start planning a year out. Mm-hmm. Flights aren't available yet.
True.
So they don't come available till around 325 days, I think is what it is.
Okay.
So, but you can always get the basics. The foundation is what I call it, you know, travel dates, get your hotel booked, you know, start looking at activities and tours. What are you wanting to do in destination? You know, is there a restaurant you want reservations at? Are you a spa person? Should we book you spas?
Right.
That
yeah.
kind of
mm-hmm.
thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I was going to go the other way. Okay. So suddenly I have a weekend open in September. It's nearly July. Is there a point to where you can save on traveling because you don't book it ahead of time?
Good question. So yes and no. Flights, I'm going to say absolutely not.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
But in terms of like an all-inclusive, yes. And I'll tell you why. So whenever we have group bookings or incentive trips or destination weddings and things like that, what happens is we you take out a group space. And then eventually, if they don't fill the space, we have to release those rooms. So then they have to do a flash sale because they're trying to sell the rooms.
Got it.
So it doesn't always happen, but it can.
And if you're flexible about where you go, probably the options are greater, right?
Yep.
And if you start planning, like when we were talking originally, you said something about there's a special running if you book before July 2nd or something. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking further out and some of these specials come up, you're probably, like if I say, okay, I want to go to Greece in September next year, and we start talking about that in July, and you see something pop up, we're more likely to get those better deals, if you will, if you're planning in advance, right?
So when clients reach out to me a year and a half in advance, I have like my, what I call my little side note, and I've got a, you know, I classify them as Europe, I classify them as Caribbean, I classify them as Africa, whatever. And then whenever I, it's not quite time to book yet, like Hawaii, for example, you don't really want to book it a year out. There's not a lot of rates available. The availability isn't really out there. And so I feel like the rates are higher the further out. So that 8 month mark is kind of the is that sweet spot.
It's good to know.
We sat together. I couldn't think of the word.
Yeah.
Then I start looking at those, you know, promotions that are coming out that we have access to that the public doesn't. So
And so those promotions, where do you advertise those? Where could somebody get in on that?
Oh gosh, I am terrible at social media. I usually on our Facebook page or our Instagram. I post a lot. I don't post a lot of deals on there because a lot of times the engagement goes down just because of people think you're trying to sell them.
Right.
Yes.
And so I don't want that. I want ours to be more educational.
Yeah.
Then, but we do every once in a while, we'll post some last minute deals, or I'll post them on my personal page as well. I'll make them public. Cause people tag and share, and, you know, do all that stuff. But it's usually, I am old, so I'm a Facebook person. My daughter, who's 18, she's like, that's for old people. And I was like, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
So mine's mostly done on Facebook, but I try to keep up with all the other stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have a newsletter as well.
Tell me real quick so we don't forget, what is your Facebook and Instagram where people could find you and follow you?
Top Tier Travel Group. So @ Top Tier Travel Group.
Okay. And we will put that in the show notes so people know where to find you and that kind of thing. And I'm guessing you've got a list of clients that you know, if you call them and say, hey, I got a great deal to go, they know you're not being salesy.
Right.
You just know their taste and where they like to go and how much they like to travel. And I would appreciate that.
They do.
I would appreciate
that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Because sometimes you find yourself, okay, I don't have anything really, you know, I kind of want to go somewhere.
Yeah, I don't have any more vacations booked this year. I want to plan one.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. And Yeah. There's so many beautiful places to go in the world that I'm usually open for anybody to make a suggestion. And I'm probably going to be like, I'm in, you know, because I just want
to
go.
Yeah. I to give you an example, I had a client reach out. Their family has always booked with me, but it was one of their daughters. And she reached out. She's like, yeah, I think we're wanting to go to Turks and Caicos. And, you know, I was like, well, what's making you want to go there? Mm-hmm. You know, like, is it the beach? Is it the water? And I said, well, let me give you some options. And so I gave her three options. She was also talking about St. Lucia, but she wanted St. Lucia, Turks and Caicos. And I said, I'm going to throw a surprise in there because I know what you want. And so I gave her an option for Antigua and she goes, I want that one. That's what I want. Yeah. So that's what I mean whenever I say you don't all like you think you know what you want.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like you just don't know what you don't know.
Right. Right. Exactly. So, yeah.
For sure. Sometimes we'll throw some things in there.
Yeah. And, you know, I like that though.
Options. Yeah.
So on international travel, if somebody calls you to book something for next year and they say, I really want to go in June, you're going to say, actually, you should wait until August or September to go there or whatever your recommendation would be.
Mm-hmm. I always ask if their dates are flexible for that reason.
Right.
Because it may not. And, you know, I have a bunch of teacher clients who can only travel during summer.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, Europe in summer is lovely, but it's hot. Their air conditioning isn't the same as ours. If you're not staying in a 5-star hotel, the air, you're going to be hot. Like it's terrible.
That's a great tip.
Yes. So, I mean, you need to budget for a 5-star place in Europe.
And it's summer. When everybody travels, right? Because when you and I were talking about Greece, you said by that time they'll be back in school or whatever. The holiday season will be over. And so that's why late September, early October is a great time to go there. And you're not sweating just as you walk out the door.
Yep.
Right?
Our humidity here is terrible. Over there, it's like, it's we mirror seasons.
Okay.
Usually, well, depending on where you're at, obviously.
Right.
But Italy and Greece, like, it's hot.
Yeah.
And if you, like, you want air conditioning. We're used to our air.
Yeah. You're right.
We host foreign exchange students. And so we had one from Spain, and she's like, your air is amazing here. Because, you know, I mean, she's like, this is crazy. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, she's used to her air conditioning, which is not our air conditioning.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
So that brings up another question. So diva travelers who have never been abroad, they're going to need different tips, like the air conditioning. Mm-hmm. They want to travel in July to Italy, and you're going to prepare them for, here's how the temperature's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what your room's going to be like. Mm-hmm. Those are things that you're going to naturally give tips on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's our job.
It's important to know.
It is.
Because, you know, I mean, we're not divas.
But
we like to stay in a nice place.
Yeah. We're slightly
bougie. We like
bougie.
Good food. And we,
versus,
you know.
Really bougie.
We just, we know what we like. So I can see that recommendation being good for me to know because I really don't want to be there in the dead of summer where it's hot and sticky and my air conditioning says 70, but it's actually 80.
Yeah. 82.
And when you do those things, then people, that just leans toward repeat business, right? You want to be honest with your clients and make sure they know what they're getting into before they go. If you warn them and they still go, then that's on them, right? But it's about repeat and referral business.
Correct.
So, and we found you through a referral. Yes. So, so we know that you have, you know, happy clients and that's what we all want to have. So, I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Me too.
And now we know we need to talk to you about travel.
That's right.
So anyway, thank you so much, Crystal.
Yes,
we appreciate you coming in. And we hope that you will, we'll put some in the show notes, we'll put some contact information for Crystal so you can kind of follow along and seek her out if you're ever wanting to travel internationally.
Yeah. Happy travels, everyone.
Yeah. See you next time.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Simply Authentic podcast. Be sure to hit follow so that you can see each episode as it pops up weekly.